Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, I am Matt Williamson. This episode is brought to you by Live Casino. Still very much fighting a cold, but let's fight through this thing and dig deeper into what we saw in the Steelers' loss to the Bengals. Folks, it's all going down at the FanDuel Sportsbook and Lounge at Live Casino, where you can get in on all the action this football season. Bet on your teams with a sportsbook rep or at our self-service kiosks. And then jump into the stadium on our giant 40-foot video wall. How's that for a touchdown? Join your friends at Live Casino Pittsburgh, Route 30 at the Westmoreland Mall. Bet, watch, and win. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. I'm going to start with my stock up, stock down type of moves here. Stock up has to be Najee Harris. More explosive, healthier, handling the workload. Warren barely played. We'll talk about some snap count stuff to finish up the show. He kind of looks like last year Najee, which again, as we mentioned yesterday, isn't exactly a top five back. I mean, but it's a quality upper tier starter. You'll take it. I mean, especially where we were at with him just a month ago, 2 months ago, you'll definitely take it. Touched on this yesterday, but I think it's definitely true. More route concepts, more helping Kenny with route concepts. Again, I haven't watched the All-22 yet, but more in-breaking routes, watching Pickens and these guys run slants as opposed to just go after go or comeback. I was happy to see that. Speaking of Pickens, I think stock has to be up. I mean, I know he had a drop that would have padded his stats, but probably wouldn't have changed the game late. And he also got kicked out of this game, which I kind of liked. I mean, he's playing with attitude. He gets kicked out on the onside at the end because he's feisty, competitive, nasty, however you want to say it. But I don't think those traits are going away. And I think this team needs some of that. And he is aggressive. I mean, I like everything about his attitude and aggressiveness. Freiermuth was a stock up yesterday, but guy is really good. I mean, I'm starting to think he's already the fifth best tight end in the league. I mean, that's the neighborhood he's in now in terms of what he does. I thought he blocked well in this game too. I mean, he's certainly a developing blocker, an improving blocker. Not that he stunk at it before. I think there's a misconception that he came into the league as a great blocker. He certainly didn't. Speaking of tight end blocking, Gentry did really well in this game as well. I have mixed feelings about him on the field as much as he was, and we'll talk about that when we get to snap counts. But when he was out there, he was blocking well. Two of the offensive linemen I thought played really well in protection were Chooks and Dotson. Both those guys had plus games, I thought, in protection. So that was good to see. Dotson's a little up and down week to week, but this was an up game for him to me. You have to mention Cam Hayward. His run defense was phenomenal start to finish. And his second half pass rush, I thought, was great. Watt was as good as ever. I mean, he's TJ Watt, and no worries. I mean, no setbacks. Played a lot of snaps. Superstar. I want to say, mention Hayward, but I also wanted to call out Adams and the rest of the D-line. I mean, the big people on defense. I would like seeing Adams have more snaps than Alualu. We'll talk about that. He's the only one that I didn't think played well was Tyson Alualu. But a good group overall from the Steeler defensive line, which also leads to tip balls. This team's gotten really good at getting their hands up, disrupting passing lanes, tipping balls in the air. That can't be overlooked. I don't think it's an accident. I also thought it was a good day by Presley Harvin. Punted six times. Averaged 45.5 yards per punt. There was one that wasn't great, but that's what you're after. I thought Harvin had a good game. Sims muffed one, and that wasn't pretty, obviously. But his returns, other than that, stock up. I mean, I thought Sims as a returner, his reliability is a little questionable, but he makes plays with the ball in his hands, especially in the return game. I like that. Hey, you scored 30 points. I mean, it's the first time you've done that in a million years. Stock up to scoring. A couple of their guys stood out that I didn't expect or didn't notice as much. Of course, I'm focusing on the Steelers right off the bat. And if you remember, yesterday's podcast was 2 minutes after the final buzzer sounded. So, you know, I didn't dig in deep. But their two linebackers, Logan Wilson and especially Jermaine Pratt, were very effective in this game, especially against a run, but covering a lot of ground. That's a really good duo, and they haven't had good linebacker play there, off-the-ball linebacker play for quite a while, but they do now. I was really hard on Jonah Williams, the left tackle, leading up to this game, but I thought he fared quite well. I thought maybe it was the best game of the season. And Burrow. I mean, Burrow was an elite player in this game. The Steelers threw a lot at him, handled it with ease. I mean, that place was rocking, was loud, didn't faze him at all, didn't have Chase. I mean, elite quarterback play, and I don't throw that word around very much, is unbelievably hard to defend. I mean, it's kind of like if you watch Chargers Chiefs last night, I'm recording this on Tuesday. Again, under the weather, I apologize. But, you know, Herbert goes down and scores with like 2 minutes left. And Herbert's a great player. I mean, Herbert's a Burrow-level type player that doesn't have much around him. But an elite player like, and I think all these guys are, but the elite player like Mahomes, you knew he was going to score. It's like he didn't even flinch. Like, he left me like 2 minutes on the clock. Of course I'm going to win this game. You know, I mean, Burrow had some of those qualities yesterday. Some stock down stuff. Second half offense across the board. I mean, just brutal. Really, really brutal. First down production, and then we saw a lot of runs on second and long that made things tough going forward. I'm going to look into that more. I do want to look at their yards per play on first down. I didn't do that yet, but didn't love the bevy of second down runs after first down didn't go so well. Just a week ago, I was praising Dan Moore as a run blocker. Even talked about maybe he's a really good guard. His run blocking was bad in this game, though. I mean, I've been paying attention to that as a run blocker specifically with him. Just thinking big picture, what's his future? His run blocking was not very good in this game. Tackling, we will get to that. Tackling was really bad, especially against Perine. Perine, they had a hard time getting him on the ground. I mentioned, hey, they scored 30 points, stock up. But you allowed 37 points minus Jamar Chase and Mixon for almost the entire game. That's definitely a stock down situation. Spillane, I always pick on this guy, but I just don't understand why he's out there as much as he is. His coverage was brutal in this game. I mean, really bad. And I don't understand why. And people certainly are to some degree, but I would throw at him like almost every snap. I don't understand why he's out there as much as he is, especially with Jack being healthy, and we'll talk about his snap counts and KZ being healthy. There's a lot of other options. Mallett had a tough game. Ideally, I think you want Sutton to be the nickel. I mean, Mallett's an easy guy to root for, but this was, I'm not sure where I got this one from, but Mallett surrendered 6 catches on 9 targets for 81 yards and one of the 4 Bengals passing touchdowns. I mean, it's just not good enough. I mean, he's a limited player. Steelers kickoff coverage I didn't think was great either. I mean, both these teams had some decent returns. We talked a lot of field position yesterday. I think also the return games had a bigger influence on this game than maybe we realized on first blush. I will say neither team was great in pass protection. I called out a couple of the Steelers I thought were good, but the left guard, Volson, who everyone's kind of known as the weak link of that team. Wow. I mean, he's not an NFL starter. They need to find another guard in the offseason. That's a hole for them. Talked a lot about DJ Reader leading up to this game. I mentioned yesterday, I wasn't super impressed with his immediate impact, and on second watch, I wasn't all that impressed either. So I'm sure he's just working his way back, but he did not change this game all that much. So I'll be back here in a moment. Quick break. Some nuggets to just kind of back up some of the things I said about ups and downs. Going back to the tackling, way too much yardage allowed after the catch. And this was the NFL.com next gen stat of the game. Joe Burrow attempted 3 passes with targets behind the line of scrimmage on Sunday. All 3 passes produced touchdowns, the most such passing touchdowns in a game during the next gen stats era, forever long that is. Throwing behind the line of scrimmage shouldn't end up in touchdowns. I mean, it's P. Ryan. I mean, P. Ryan was tough to get on the ground, but he's not a special player. You know, why'd they have such a hard time tackling P. Ryan? Cincinnati had 2 touchdown drives that accounted for 92 and 93 yards. That 185 total yards in those 2 possessions was 1 fewer than the Saints game the entire week last year. You know, so as good as the Steelers did, I think that was from Dale. As good as the Steelers did last year or last week, they gave up that exact same amount basically on 2 long drives. I mean, you can't give up drives of 92 and 93 yards. Raved about Higgins yesterday. Really concerned about the Steelers' inability to handle top 20, top 25 type wide receivers. I might even write about that for the site this week. But 8 of Higgins' 9 catches produced a first down. And 5 of them, those 8 catches, were explosives. I mean, they were big plays. Brutal. I mean, that screams corner help. Not all bad, though, of course. I mean, second straight game, the Steelers did not turn the football over. Tremendous. I mean, they have to be even or plus in that category. Steelers also posted their 2 longest touchdowns of the season, the 19-yard run by Harris and the 24-yard catch by Pickens. So they are starting to score from high red zone, outside of red zone, that type of thing. So we've seen 2 games without Claypool. And in those 2 games, Najee has 20 carries for the second straight week. Maybe I'm sure he'd have less if Warren got hurt or didn't get hurt. But still, it's 2 weeks in a row with 20 carries. Freiermuth got 12 targets, caught 8 for 79. Pickens had 4 catches on 6 targets for 83. But Deontay, he only had 5 targets. He only caught 4, and he caught 4 of them for just 21 yards. This was a quote by Kenny Pickett, was, "With the coverage they were playing, I felt like we weren't letting Deontay get singled up." What I will say, and I have not watched the All-22, but, and this is a feather in Johnson's cap, and a big reason why I tell you guys he's worth the money, all those things, as is usually the case, but was very clear in this one, and that Pickens quote kind of backs it up, is teams treat Deontay like he's the number one. They don't roll coverages equally. He's the one they worry about most. I mean, and this is true for a team that he's played against a lot, a coaching staff that knows him well. People around the league respect Johnson quite a bit. I don't love this. The Steelers dropped back 44 times and ran it just 24. In a game that was basically close from the start, they did average 4.3 yards a carry. Najee was at 4.5. He's back-to-back weeks of 20 carries, 90 or more yards in back-to-back weeks. I would have liked to see more run, especially on second blush. And I do have a Monday morning quarterback, feel to this. But as well as Burrow was playing, I think running the ball would have been advantageous as opposed to a 44-24 ratio. The third quarter was brutal, though. The third quarter, the Steelers gained 19 yards on four possessions and went three and out on all four of those drives. Five of the Steelers' eight second half drives went for 97 seconds or fewer. Again, maybe run the ball would have helped that. There's some hindsight involved there, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, five of their second half drives were like a minute and a half or less. And I know we're not being gentle on the defense, but you keep putting them out there. Keep putting them out there late in games. Bad things are going to happen. Missed tackles on P. Ryan is going to happen, no matter who the defense are. The three injuries to worry about are Warren, Cole, and Boykin. You guys are probably all aware. And I just mentioned that, too, because Steelers play Monday night. You're probably listening to this on Tuesday. Maybe we just don't know those answers yet. I think there's a downgrade at center when Cole was out. Warren's a good player. I think they like getting Boykin on the field, which brings me to snap counts. This doesn't sound great for the Steelers D. Trenton Irwin, the wide receiver for the Bengals, he played 46 snaps in this game, and they put up 37 points with Trenton Irwin on the field, quite a bit of them. Mentioned that P. Ryan did play well, but they didn't make this clear on the when you're watching the game. Mixon only lasted 14 snaps before he was concussed. So that change was made early. Here's some more Steeler snap count things that I thought were noticeable. This is the offensive stuff. Sims played 32 as opposed to 31 offensive snaps by Gunner. Boykin only lasted 3. I wonder if he would been up around 15 or so had he not been injured. Gentry played 30. And side note, those four players, Sims, Gunner, Boykin, Gentry, I mean, we talked about this last year, that these are post-Claypool moves, which is good. I mean, we're going to figure that out. We're going to see what sticks post-Claypool. But none of those guys are players in the NFL that other teams are unhappier on the field. You know what I mean? Like, oh, no, Gunnar Olszewski's out here 31 snaps. How are we going to deal with that? I mean, they're just not difference makers. They have their roles. Mention Warren's injury. Him and Snell each played 3 snaps. So it's going to be the Najee show as long as Warren's out. And Watt at fullback played 7, which, again, the last 2 weeks post-Claypool, I think are his highest snap counts of the year, if I'm not mistaken. If not, they're right near the top. I promised you I'd tell you how much Reader played. He was not very impactful, but he only played 44 of 73 snaps for the Bengals. A couple defensive snap count things. This Spillane thing keeps making me crazy, too. He played 38 of 66 snaps, compared to 41 by Jack, 35 by Bush. Spillane should never outsnap Bush. I mean, I'm sorry. Or be right behind Jack. I don't get that. Especially with a big nickel package available. And I say that, I keep bringing up big nickel when talking about Spillane because most of his snaps are in dime. But so why not play three safeties, three corners, Jack, and the front four, as opposed to Spillane being out there. I don't understand this infatuation with him playing 50% of your defensive snaps. Everyone's going to pick on him if they don't already. Saints coverage was bad too. They just didn't take advantage of it. Mentioned KZ, he only played 26 snaps. And the nose tackle thing we talked about earlier, I mean, Adams is a much better player than Alualu right now. But Tyson played 14 snaps. Adams played 11. Nose tackle snaps, I mean, they get beat up, but I'd like to see Adams at 18 and Alualu at 6 or whatever that is, something like that. Last note is if you recall, if you listened to yesterday's pod, it was right after the game. I was a little wound up, disheartened, and feeling like crap, to be honest with you, as I am today. And some of you on Twitter, some nice about it, most not. You said Kenny Pickett's a lifetime backup. You don't know anything. You're an idiot, Williamson. I don't think that's exactly what I said. My concerns were, is he an elevator? might he, I think the words that came out of my mouth were, might he just be a backup? By no means did I say, Kenny's a backup, he stinks, he has no chance. I would never phrase it that way. But there's some concerns. So, but here's the way I'll phrase this too. On Peacock and Williamson, the podcast I host every day, we break down every game on Monday, and we were talking Jets-Patriots, which was brutal offensively. Two really good defenses. The game was won with a Patriot return. That was basically the only big play of the game. But what I was saying with this is put yourself in the shoes of a Patriot or Jets fan right now. And Zach Wilson and Mac Jones are brutal, brutal, way more concerning than Pickett. I mean, and a year older, but brutal. And what I said to them, you know, hey, Patriot and Jets fans, if you look in your division, the AFC East, let's say a year and a half into their careers, or Pickett's a half a year into a career, Wilson and Mac have now been basically starters for a year and a half. Tua and Josh Allen, the other two quarterbacks in the AFC East, if we analyze them, or what was public perception of Tua and Allen a year and a half into their careers, massive concerns. And those two are in the MVP race right now, Allen and Tua. I mean, when we, a year and a half in was, man, Allen can't hit a broadside of a barn. He's not developing. Tua is an ordinary player at best. They need to go get a quarterback. They're gathering all these picks so that if Tua busts, they can go trade up and get Smith or Stroud or somebody like that. So patience is unbelievably important here. Now, I'm not saying Zach Wilson or Mac Jones is going to turn into Tua and Allen, but at the exact same time in their career, in the exact same division, they were just as concerning as Jones and Wilson, and Pickett's a year behind those guys. So patience, patience, patience. And frankly, I regret saying the word backup yesterday, but I wasn't in the best mood and not feeling well, and such is life. But some of you that weren't quite as nice on Twitter, if you think that you're so smart and dialed in on this and that you know that Pickett is better than an NFL backup for his career, you're nuts. I mean, you don't know that. I don't know that. Steelers don't know that. He doesn't know that. To come out and tell me, Williamson, you don't know what the heck you're talking about. How could you say he's maybe a backup, which is how I phrased it, as opposed to he's definitely a starter. You don't know that yet. You definitely don't, because he's not playing like an NFL starter. I mean, I think he will, but these are all projections. So there you have it. I think it was a good pod today. Fighting through some stuff here. Hopefully I'm better tomorrow. That's a wrap. See you.